Sometimes things happen that you know God has had his hand in it. And that happened to me last Monday morning early. I had gotten up in the 5 o'clock hour, and that's not anything unusual for me. And I had taken some time to read my Bible. It was now about 6:30 a.m. And as I finished reading my Bible, the Lord was prompting me to text an old friend whose name is Craig Woolsey. And his name may be familiar to some of you. Craig, his wife, Shirley, had just died in the days earlier to Monday. I wasn't sure even what day she had died, but the Lord was texting me, or the Lord was prompting me to text Craig and just to say to him, hey, I'm concerned about you. I'm thinking about you right now. I'm praying for you. And I knew that she had died in the state of Oregon. I knew they had a home in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but they had been out to Oregon. I later realized through after talking with him that they were sharing the living time in Oregon and in Tulsa. They have kids in both places. And they had been out there to be with their kids in Oregon, and she had passed away. The Woolseys are longtime missionaries in Chile, South America. And the church where I served in Fort Scott supported their work there. I had made a trip to Chile a number of years ago and spent some time with them there. They had a wonderful work going on in Chile, winning people to Jesus. And so there I sat at 6:30, and the Lord is saying, why don't you send Craig a text? And I'm thinking, you know, if he's still in Oregon, it's 4:30 a.m. their time. And yet he was still prompting me to send that text. And I said, okay. If Craig's out there in Oregon at 4:30 in the morning, I guess he'll see it when he gets up, or I don't, maybe he's laying there awake, and it will come to him at an appropriate time and encourage him. And you know what? The latter was the case. I texted him, and immediately he responded back to me that he had been awake most of the night. It had turned out to be exactly a week ago that his wife had died, and he was reliving it all through the night as he lay in bed. And he said my text had come to him at a very good time. And he suggested that we talk on the phone. And as I'm reading the text, my phone rings, and it's actually him. He's dialed me. And it was definitely a God thing. We talked for over an hour. He welcomed my reaching out to him. And as always, he ended up being an encouragement to me. Have you ever had that happen to you? You've had those moments where you were supposed to be the encourager, and it ended up you being the one encouraged. And that's exactly what took place that morning as we talked on the phone. Craig and Shirley had been married for 60 years. They were quite a team for Jesus. And every time that I have been around Craig, he immediately takes on the role of a mentor to me. And by that, I simply mean he sharpens me in the faith. He is a teacher of teachers. He is a leader of leaders. And during this phone call, he shared with me one experience after another of how God, through this whole journey of losing his wife, how God was with him. And how God was providing cushion for him. That's the word that he continued to use throughout that conversation, that God was providing cushion for him or comfort to him at just the moment that he needed it. And he said my text to him, and then our phone call had come to him at just the moment that he needed it. And I'm thinking, even at 4:30 in the morning, God was knowing what he needed at that moment, and he was prompting me 2,000 miles away to be a part of that comforting process for him. It was a reminder to me that God loves us so much. And that's what we've been talking about over the last couple of Sundays. How much he loves us. He's our Father. And he's never going to leave us. He's never going to abandon us. And in the darkest moments of our life, he is there to provide cushion, to provide help, to provide light to us. He's with us even through the valley of the shadow of death. He is a good, good God who loves us with an incredible love. And for the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the love of God. And if by chance you've missed either of those sermons, I would encourage you to catch up with those sermons on our church Facebook page or our church website, because they would be worth your time. They would be good sermons to remind you of a truth that we just need to carry with us every day, that God loves us with an incredible love. And I want to continue that theme by telling you of a very unique couple from the Old Testament pages. I wonder if you are familiar with their story. Their names are Hosea and Gomer. Hosea was a prophet of God to the northern kingdom of Israel during the 8th century BC. Israel was very much in decline during this time. They were turning away from God and serving other idols. And God was trying to get their attention through Hosea's preaching. But the people were not listening. They were continuing to do their own thing and go their own way. Their ears had become deaf to God's voice through Hosea, and their hearts had become hard. But God never gives up on loving his people and trying to get their attention. He told Hosea the prophet to go down to the red light district and marry a prostitute. And you say, what? You did hear me right. And I'm sure Hosea was saying, what? What? To God? And God said it again, I want you to go down to the red light district and get yourself a wife. And can you imagine the conversation that took place between Hosea and God at that time? As Hosea is saying, God, I don't understand what you're saying to me. I mean, this is not my way. This is not your way. Why would you want me to have a wife of that kind? And God's saying, I know you've never been down there before, Hosea. But I have my reasons for this request. I need you to do what I'm telling you to do. And so what did Hosea do? He obeyed God. He didn't understand the request. He didn't relish the thought of marrying a prostitute. It went against everything that he had ever stood for. It went against everything that he had ever preached. But if God had told him to do something, he was going to do it. And so he made his way down to the Cheating side of town, and he came out with a wife named Gomer, and he loved her with an incredible love. For a moment, I want to ask you, do you have that kind of faith that whatever God asks you to do, you're willing to do it? Now, that's a pretty heavy question. Do you have the kind of faith that whatever God asks you to do, you are willing to do it, even if you don't have full understanding of his request? Maybe it doesn't make sense to you. Maybe it doesn't seem logical to you. But if you are confident that God is asking you to do something, are you willing to do it? Obedience is very important to God. I could read you one scripture after another to give weight to what I just said, that obedience is very important to God. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If he asks you to repent and be baptized, are you willing to do it? If he asks you to forgive your offender and turn the other cheek, are you willing to do it? It may not make a lot of sense to you. It may not seem like the natural thing to do. But if God says, this is what I want you to do, are you willing to do it? If he asks you to tithe of your income, are you willing to do it? If he asks you to love that person that's hard to love, are you willing to do it? Sometimes God's will is made very clear to us in his word. Sometimes his will, it comes through a prompting of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it may get us completely out of our comfort zone. But are we willing to do what he's asking us to do? Young person, if God is prompting you towards giving up your dreams and taking on his dream of you being a preacher of the gospel, are you willing to do it? Hosea obeyed God by going and getting him a wife in the red light district. I said to Cindy this week as we were in the car together and riding along and talking about Hosea and Gomer, I said, I wonder how he was able to convince her to be his wife. And Cindy's answer was probably right. She said, probably God just put it in her heart to love him. You've heard the saying that opposites attract to one another. These two were as opposite could be. But I'm thinking too, Hosea must have loved her with an incredible love. The kind of love she had never experienced before. Oh, she had experienced love from a worldly viewpoint, but not from God's viewpoint. And when God's love was offered to her, and she began to experience God's kind of love. Wow, this is different. I kind of like this. This is good. And for quite a while, everything seemed so good for Hosea and Gomer. It seemed to be working just fine. Over time, three little ones were born. They had quite a family going on, and so much love and so much togetherness. But then heartache struck. Hosea woke up one night and Gomer was gone. And he's looking for her, he's trying to find her, and he's not finding her anywhere. And it kind of goes on long enough that the thought comes to his mind, surely Gomer has not gone back to her old way of living. And unfortunately, and very sadly, she had. Hosea went searching for her back down where he had found her, and wouldn't you know it, he found her in the arms of another man. Multiple times that happened. She had taken the life of a harlot again, and she had left behind all that was so good and so right. And as you can imagine, Hosea's heart was broken. But he didn't give up on her. He loved her. He kept pursuing her. And eventually, he bought her back. He redeemed his own wife back with his hard-earned money. I'm giving you a very fast overview of the book that you'll find tucked away in the pages of the Old Testament. I would encourage you to take the time to read it. It's only 14 chapters long, and some of those chapters are really short. And so what can we learn about God's love from this story? This very ancient story. And by the way, it is a true story. And I think there are some things we can learn about God's love. First of all, God's love is loyal to us even when we are not loyal to Him. In case you haven't figured it out yet, Hosea in this story represents God. And Gomer represents faithless Israel. And if you take that on down the line, if you let it trickle for many generations, Gomer represents you and me. God has chosen to love us when we are totally undeserving of His love. He's taken us in as His own bride. He's committed Himself to us with a covenant kind of love. And instead of relishing that love and cherishing that love, we have chosen to go astray. And He, the perfect bridegroom, continues to love us with an incredible love. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself." It's a picture of God's love towards a faithless bride. And we are that faithless bride. Here's a question for you. Do you think that God hurts when we turn our back on Him? He hurts the same way that Hosea hurt when Gomer left him. Think about that. The hurt that Hosea felt when he realized what his wife had done to him and how faithless she had been to him, the same hurt that Hosea felt is the hurt that God feels when we turn our back on him. I don't know, maybe some of you here, a few of you, know that hurt personally. You've been married to someone who has been faithless to you, and you know that hurt of Hosea's. I'm thankful my wife has been faithful to me. I can't imagine the pain that it would cause. And that's the pain. I want you to know, that's the pain that God feels when we run after other lovers, either literally or figuratively. Sometimes the other lovers that we have are the countless gods that we give precedence to over him. Our money. You know, our money can become a god. Our stuff. Our self. I think those are three of the main gods that we tend to run after. Our money, our stuff, our self. Anything that we love first over him becomes an idol that we are worshiping, and we are committing spiritual adultery against him, and it hurts him to the core. And yet he keeps right on loving us with a loyal love. I was reading in preparation of this sermon from a fellow who works with college-age students. And he was telling about the number of students who had grown up in the church and they had had their time of waywardness. In other words, they had for a while lived the prodigal life. And then they were maybe trying to come back. And this is how he had connected with them. He was a college-age minister, and he's working with these college-age kids who have lived the prodigal life, and some of them, they're trying to come back. But he said so many of them, they could not imagine that God still loved them in spite of their sinfulness. And I want you to know he does. His love is deeper than the deepest ocean. His love is so enduring. His love is greater than our sin. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how far that you have wandered. God still loves you. And that will never change. He loves you with an incredible love. His love is loyal even when we are not loyal to him. Let me give to you a second point from this ancient story. Because of his great love, he pursues us. As you read the story of Hosea, you'll find Hosea goes after her. He pursues her. He's not willing to give up easily. He loves her with an incredible love. Again, that's God's love towards us. And that's Jesus's love towards us. This is interesting and something that I hadn't really remembered until I got into the study of Hosea this week. The name Hosea means salvation. Guess who else's name means salvation? It's Jesus. What I think is Hosea reflects for us in the Old Testament the love that we see from Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus pursues us when we wander off into sin. He does not give up on us easily. He does not say, well, you know where I'm at, you can come find me. No, instead, he comes running after us. He pursues us into the darkness. He's wanting to bring us out of the darkness into the light. He loves us with an incredible love. You've heard me say that several times today, and it's very intentional that he loves us with an incredible love. Would you say that with me? God loves us with an incredible love. It's beyond our understanding. It's certainly beyond our fleshly nature of how our love oftentimes is. But you know what? I'll take it. I'll gladly take it. And I'll be so thankful for it that he pursues us. He chases after us, even as we have been unloyal to him. Let me give to you a third point. All of this is such a quick overview of the book. I again encourage you to take some time this week and read through the book of Hosea. Third point, God's love does have a disciplinary side to it. Now, as you read through Hosea, you'll see one promise after another of God saying, there's consequences, there are consequences to your sin, and you're going to experience those consequences. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, and Scott will put that on the screen, and I'll just let you read that as I'm talking to you. But this scripture is the scripture of God being our Father, And you know, a good father will discipline his children. A good father isn't going to let his children just run crazy and do their own thing without trying to put some direction to them and some consequences if necessary. And this is God the Father. It's Hosea's promise. The prophet is speaking the words of God to the people of Israel. There is going to be some discipline come your way because of your waywardness. But my discipline to you doesn't mean that I am going to stop loving you. Rather, it means that I love you all the more and I want to bring you back into righteousness. It's always the purpose of discipline, is to bring one back into righteousness. And so just because we speak of God's love to us doesn't mean that there isn't hardship, that there isn't consequences for wrongdoing on our part. But it's always for our good. It's always to bring us back to the truth. And I'll give you one final point. God's love is always ready to forgive. And if you read through the story of Hosea, he's actually willing to buy back his wife after she had left him. And this really is a picture of sex trafficking all the way back in the 8th century BC. Gomer has apparently come underneath the thumb of a pimp who owns her now. And Hosea, her husband, has to come and pay a ransom to receive her back. A ransom of 15 shekels of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a wineskin full of wine, the scripture says. He bought her back. I don't know what that was. Yeah. I don't know what that was, but okay, okay, God. He bought her back because he loved her. God, can't you see all how it ties in to the New Testament ransom, the redemption price? God, the Father, paid an incredible ransom price to buy you back from your slavery to sin, and me too. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. The word redemption means to buy back. And that redemption price was the blood of God's own Son, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It really is an incredible love that he has offered to us. And what is required is that we repent of our sins. It's not like God's arms are open and he says, okay, everybody come. There's a free pass into heaven. Your sins are forgiven. They really haven't mattered to me. Your sins have not mattered to me. I'm just going to open the door and everybody's going to come into heaven. That is not how it is at all. No. Our sins cost him the blood of his own Son. And so our sins do matter to him. And in order to be forgiven of our sins, we have to repent. And then heaven is ours. Because Jesus paid the full price. If we don't repent, then our sins are on us. And it is a terrible thing. The scripture says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's unimaginable what that will be like for the person who has never said yes to Jesus. You can live your life here the way you want to live, but be ready for eternity, because it will not be a pleasant thing for the person who doesn't come to Jesus. And so please repent of your sins. Seek his forgiveness as it is freely offered to you. And again, we give thanks to God for his incredible love to us. Let's pray together.